Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Julian, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in a year-long retreat. Welcome, Julian.
Hi, thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
So as you very likely know, we are coming up to the kickoff for another practice year, which means we're leading towards kicking off a new year-long retreat. And so we thought it would be timely to get to hear from someone about your direct experience of participating in a year-long retreat and the impact that you feel like that's had on your practice. So thanks for being with us this afternoon to talk about that.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, I think this was my second go around with a year-long retreat, and the way that I sort of vision it is like a scaffolding to take me through through the year. It's every day. There's a way to connect with practice every day that, you know, just appears in your inbox, and and it's deeply supportive in that way. I feel like it's been the tool for me that has really allowed me to, to touch into practice every day. And I will say, after doing it for a year, there was no way I wasn't going to do it again the next year. It was just like,
why would I do that?
I'm definitely feeling its absence right now, actually.
Yeah, already so much in what you said, Julian. I think actually that's where the organization got to also. You know, when we first started this process of having a daily focus and a coming together daily, and then the next year looking at, well, should we do that again? And the answer was, well, how could we not do that again?
Yeah.
Right? It was so transformative. Yeah. So it sounds like one of the elements for you is really supportive to have that daily assignment. So 7 days a week this year, we had, you know, we had an assignment that we were looking at, and 5 days a week having a chance to process that assignment via the radio show.
Yes, and the radio show is such a, I imagine this is a shared experience. I find that almost every morning, Monday through Friday, conditioning will try and talk me out of calling into the radio show. And it is like that daily way of it'll say, oh, well, you know, they record these so you can listen later, which of course is also an option, but it would present it in this way, like, oh, just drink your coffee more slowly, do this, do that. I never regretted calling into that radio show, and I always had resistance. So that was a really helpful thing for me to see this year in particular. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great point, Julian, because that right there is an incredible training, isn't it? To every single, because, you know, it's not like, well, some days conditioning likes to resist things and some days it's really on board. No, no. Conditioning is never on board. It might seem sometimes for a few seconds that it's on board with something only to get our attention with it. But its program is always resistance. So
that's
to
right.
have a daily way to go up against that and then to get to see over time, you know, I never, ever regretted doing that. Every time
I truly did not. And you know, obviously this has been a unique year, and I would say a big takeaway for me was that there became this sort of I tuned into a voice that conditioning presents around being productive, because I was home for so much of the day, right? So it's like, oh, well, great, well, you can get to that and you can get to that and you can get to that, and then of course after all those things are done, then you can practice. So as if practice couldn't be a part of all of those things. And so I really had this opportunity this year to just double down, because I was home when I would be getting those voices. I was like, okay, well, I know how to support myself with practice in this moment. And I know that if I don't take care of myself right now, conditioning is never just going to give in and say, okay, it's time. It's either now or I'm not making that choice of care, right? It's one or the other.
That was
a big thing for me this year as well.
So big. And I think you put your finger right on it, Julian, why the power of doing the daily focus, because for so many of us, you know, once we sort of get into practice and it's clear to conditioned mind, oh God, he's really going to do this, right? Then its next sort of strategy is, well, then split it off from everything else, right? Okay, so you've got your health and you've got exercise and you've got eating and you've got relationships and you've got practice. And practice is one of the things you do. And P.S., by the way, just quietly, we're going to put it way down at the bottom of the list, as you say, after everything else is done, then you can have a little practice time.
Yeah.
But what the year-long focus does is it completely flip-flops that. And it sounds like your experience, and this is certainly mine, is that it becomes the context within which everything else can happen.
That's exactly right. Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful synthesis. Yes, because we get it every day. And so slowly, just by doing it, you realize, like, oh, this practice is every day. Practice is each moment. Okay. This isn't sort of an isolated part of my life or just a thing that I do when I listen to the radio show. This is my life. And, you know, I opening the journal that I kept for the year to jot down notes and then make recordings from, I could have opened to any page and felt the relevance, because you feel that connection through each practice focus. You know, you see some of the same identities coming up that you work with, and some of the insights come up with different content, and it is it's so gratifying to see that, and it's such a gratitude builder. I think that's what I felt when I would get off the calls and never feel that regret, is that I realized, oh, like, I wasn't feeling grateful, or I didn't want to do this just because I wasn't here. And I know Sherry says this all the time, if you can just get here, then it's okay, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If I can just get here, it's okay. And as you say, your own participation in the retreat gives you so many tools for getting here. So looking back through your journal of, you know, what you wrote in terms of answers to the questions, I imagine your recordings that you record, things you recorded around the assignment. And then, as you also mentioned a few minutes ago, that in addition to being able to be live on the radio show every day, every show is recorded. And so there are archives available to, you know, now anyone who's participated for a year, there's, you know, however many, whatever the math is on that, dozens and dozens of archives.
Baffling. It's a baffling level of support. Yes.
It's a baffling level of support. And all exactly as you just said, all in support of just getting here where everything is completely all right. There's nothing wrong.
I mean, that being something that you have access to every day, it's just, it's life-changing. It's totally life-changing.
It is life-changing. Yeah, it really is. And as I'm listening to you, Julian, I'm getting such a clear sense of what an investment it is in our lives to have that support structure that's so there every single day. Includes, you know, however many people in Sangha. I mean, that's the other thing we haven't even talked about, is the listening on the radio shows and hearing everyone else's experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that connection is huge. It's huge, especially as so many of us are home and, you know, maybe exposed to a limited amount of people, at least in person. It is a vast community of people who are really, you know, looking to be awake and alive in their lives. And even, you know, there are many days you can call in and get in the queue, and maybe you don't specifically get called on, but someone is going to ask or speak to something you can relate to every day, invariably.
Yeah, truly, invariably. How many times do we hear someone come on and say, geez, I think this entire show was for me? Everyone lined up to say the thing that I needed to hear, to help shift something, to you know, shine a light on in a way that completely resonates, but I would have never thought to say it that way, to see it that way.
It's for me, it was a totally new way to engage with community in such a loving, compassionate way, and in the sense that it's there, you know, five mornings a week and via assignment every morning. So I guess all I can say is that once, in my experience, you have had the experience of doing the year long. It's hard to imagine a year without that scaffolding, you know?
I completely agree. I completely agree. Yeah. And it's really set up in a way to, you know, offer it to everyone, in the sense, I think there are, you know, payment plans so people can pay over time if they're not able to pay all at once, or, you know, so really really, I think, practice really, really wanting to extend that opportunity for anyone who wants it for themselves, essentially.
Totally, yeah. Yes. And I do remember feeling like that investment, particularly my first year. And I think I did opt to do, you can pay over the course of a couple of months rather than one big payment, if that is better for, you know, your situation. And also with so many things in practice, the first time you do it, it can feel like a big investment. And then you have the experience of the return for your being, and it feels very worth it. But I understand, you know, it is an investment, and yeah, but there's some flexibility there.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Julian, thank you so much for being with us this evening to talk about your experience. As I say, it's always fun to get to hear directly from someone who has had their own experience of the opportunity.
I have so much gratitude. Any way I can be involved and give back to Sangha, I got the email invitation and was just like bouncing off the walls. Like, you want to talk to me? Are you sure? Okay, I will. I'll talk to you.
So, I love it.
Yeah.
Gratitude wants
thank
to
you.
Give. Okay.
It wants to. Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much. Yeah. It was fun.
Oh, thank you, Julian. Very fun. Take good care.
You as well.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Julian, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to be here with Sangha.
I know. We're getting to share in a baffling level of support.
Yes.
My new favorite expression.
Yes, I heard that also. Baffling level
of
support.
That's so perfect, isn't it? I mean, that's absolutely it. When mm-hmm. when Julian was talking, in fact, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, not that long ago, there were a lot of people in this Sangha who went on retreat once a year. That was it.
Yes, yes.
Right? And we would do whatever we could in between. You know, there'd be an email class or there'd be a, you know, whatever. But that was pretty much it. And I mean, that just the reference that that they both made, Jen and Julian both made to, we couldn't go back. I mean, we spend all our time together now. You know, it's just, when we can travel again, you know, I mean, of course, for me, so much of that is a why. when we can do all of this, it does, you know, there's no hardship on the planet. In terms of cost, it's true, like with the year-long retreat, there are payment plans and that sort of thing, and which was true with retreats as well, but the cost of the retreat is, you know, depending on who you retreat with, for us, about half the cost of a 5-day retreat,
mm-hmm.
right? With some people, I mean, it's a fifth of the cost of a 5-day retreat, and it lasts all year.
Yes.
It's kind of insane when you think about it that way. But, of course,
yes.
It's good for us. We don't have to travel. We don't have to rent places. We don't have to cook. We don't have to, you know, it's a good deal all the way around. And
yes.
We get to spend so much time together.
Yes, so much time together. And every day, it's like a live, you know, support. I can touch. It's tangible. And
yeah.
I expect it, and I need it, and I get it. And mm-hmm. it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, of course, you know, that's on top of everything else. The year-long retreat is just one of the things, right? So then
yes.
if that's not enough, if you want more, you know, you can do the coaching groups. So you can do reflective listening training.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, reflective listening buddies or RL training or just tons and tons and tons of things that we do together so that, yeah, our whole life is practice.
Yes.
Which it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Our whole life is practice. Lovely.
Yeah. It is lovely. And I'll say one other thing just because we're here and I can. I was talking with somebody recently who, you know, lives in the world in this country, and it's and during the pandemic and that sort of thing, and talking about various communities that they're involved with, and he was saying, you know, that people are so unhappy and there's so much suffering and that sort of thing, and I thought, and our Sangha is just getting happier and happier and happier.
Mm.
And experiencing the same thing, right? It's
yes.
It's not like we're not either fortunate enough, as Julian was saying, to be at home, to work at home, and that sort of thing. Or however, we're still part of the larger community, but the way we're approaching it together takes the suffering right out of it.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, what drops in is in the world, but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
To be engaged and participating mm-hmm. in our lives without that additional layer of something wrong and not enough.
Yes, and without feeling like, with so many people, my God, I'm home. I'm never going to see another human being. I'm lonely. I'm depressed.
Yes.
I'm overeating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking too much.
Yes.
You know, my life is miserable. And we don't have that experience because we do have this community of intelligent, insightful, kind, compassionate people who are working on waking up and ending suffering on a daily basis. So even though all of those things might be happening, you know, I wish I could see my family. I wish I could, you know, those kinds of things. That becomes fodder for the practice.
Yes.
Rather than just another story that I'm going to be made miserable over. So so many people in our practice have said to me, and probably to you and whoever else was listening, you know, this year of pandemic has been one of the most extraordinary things that's ever happened to me. And not in a negative way.
Yes. Yes. That's true for me also.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely true for me also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You've got announcements?
I do. The annual kickoff this Sunday, January 10th, will introduce the practice focus for 2021 and lay the framework for the year-long retreat, which starts a little early this year. The kickoff is free of charge, but registration is requested.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about it. I am so excited about this year.
I'm so excited about it, too. A powerful and engaging recording and listening training course starts January 13th for those who want to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature.
Mm-hmm.
And keep your eye on the 2021 schedule at livingcompassion.org. Some exciting and supportive offerings have been posted so that you can mark your calendars.
Mm-hmm. Big save the date time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about ready to explode, and we're not even started yet. That's great. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to get in the queue today to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
All right.
Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jenny from New Mexico.
Hey, Jenny.
Well, hi, Jenny.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not much, actually. That's why I called.
Quiet time.
Yeah. Actually, it's not much with my practice. It's funny because Good News Update was giving me some insight into what I need to do. But I used to have a good practice. It wasn't, the best practice in the world, but at least it was my practice. And I would meditate, and I'm not meditating. And I used to meditate. I used to have a regular meditation. I don't know if you can do this practice without a meditation. Is there a point to, is there a point to practice without meditation?
Well, sure. Yes, absolutely. Now, there's a big difference between you're going to sit cross-legged on a cushion for a half an hour, maybe twice a day. Would that be the definition of a meditation practice? Or
Yeah?
So, that's a lot. That's a lot for anybody. And there's somewhere between that and just so caught up and distracted all day long that there's never a moment to take a conscious breath. And so most of us are somewhere in the middle between those two.
Yeah.
Right?
In the middle.
Yeah. And working more toward the let's calm down a little. Okay. So one of the things that, I'm not going to get into it, but this upcoming year is going to focus a lot on this very subject. And so what we want to be doing is bringing more conscious awareness to the moments in our lives. So, you can be on a walk in nature and you're aware of your body moving and you're aware of the breath moving in your body and you're aware that you're here and like that. Or you could be walking in nature and you've got music playing and you're talking to somebody and it's not that you can't do the second one, but it's not going to be the same experience.
Right.
And so if you're going to walk with somebody in the woods and you want to listen to music and you want to be chatting, that's great. But then go for a walk by yourself where you can have all of your attention on what you're doing. So the same thing, when you eat, can you just eat, not watch TV or read something?
Right.
When you're cooking, can you just cook your food? Can you like that? And in that way, we bring more and more of our lives into that conscious awareness. So you're more present with yourself. And that's, we'll usually talk about that as being in the mind of meditation, right? So we can be in the mind of meditation even though the body is up and walking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just seem to have lost my meditation. I used to do it every day for around 40 minutes a day. And used to be.
The thing is, Jenny, that's fine. Okay, good. I used to be a lot better at things like running than I am now. So that's fine. As you bring more conscious awareness to each moment of your life, you'll be naturally drawn to more stillness and more silence. And so when you meditate, just sit down in a chair and just sit there and breathe.
Okay.
Bring the attention back to the breath. Practice being here. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy being with yourself in the quiet. Not to let the voice in the head make it a contest.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth. I don't know anybody. I've been doing this for a long time. I've never even heard of anybody who started meditating and just went straight through.
Yeah.
I probably the Buddha did. I don't know. but the rest of us mortals, no, And so undulation, starting, stopping, you know, sometimes you're just wild with enthusiasm and all you want to do is meditate. And then other times, time goes by and not so much. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and what dropped in during the guidance at the beginning was I just need to also make a schedule for myself. I don't really have like a set schedule, and so, you know, I can schedule in these things and follow a schedule. And
do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yeah, that fell by
yeah.
as well.
Okay.
So
yeah. All right. Well, good. We call it beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You get to start now. Doesn't matter
right.
what happened before. You get
yeah.
to start now. Now you want
okay.
to. Now you're enthusiastic about it. Now, I don't know if you were meditating 40 minutes at a time. I never encourage that. I never encourage anybody
really?
To sit for longer than 30 minutes. Mm-mm. Not a
oh.
stretch. If you want to sit longer than that, you know, sit for half hour, get up, do some walking meditation, and then sit back down again. But if we push it too long, you know, the system goes into revolt. Now, again, if you get to the point in your practice where you realize, oh, my gosh, an hour's gone by. Wow, felt like 5 minutes. Okay, that's not a problem. But if you're setting a timer or an alarm or that sort of thing and sitting, it just gives ego an awful lot to resist.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gentle.
Yeah,
be gentle.
Okay.
Take good care of her, okay?
Okay.
Be gentle
All
with
right.
her.
For sure.
All right.
Thank
you, Jenny.
You.
Talk to you soon.
Yes.
All right, good.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. Sherry, I heard dropping standards, dropping standards, dropping standards.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Exactly
yes.
so.
Yes.
Yeah, if it's not kind, we're just not going to be really interested. We're not, and that's smart.
And what I just saw is that when I don't pay any attention to those standards, I'm not engaged in that conversation, and I'm freed
yeah.
up to be here
yes.
for whatever's now.
Yes. That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, the kind of spiritual principle behind that, it happens with so many spiritual disciplines, is that what gets created is somebody who is in charge of somebody's spiritual discipline.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And, yeah. And that's nowhere that we ever want to be. We just don't, because it people who want that kind of job tend not to be kind. They tend to be judgmental, and they have standards, and they're looking to criticize, and that's not somebody we want to be in a spiritual relationship with.
Yes.
So we're looking for the conscious, compassionate awareness that is our nature. We're not looking for another voice to tell us what's wrong with us.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hey,
well,
Emily.
Hello, Emily.
Hello.
What are you seeing? What's going on with you?
Well, I was calling. I was in need of support for identification. Like,
you mean for getting out of identification?
Yes, that's the direction
oh,
I want to go.
Okay, because I was going to say, most of us are so good
no.
at identification, we don't need
that,
support for that. But anyway, that I'm right there
support.
With you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's nothing really that, there's nothing wrong. It's just like, I don't know what happened. It's like, I remember the last time we talked, I felt like I was just on such good footing and feeling so determined and strong. I was talking about gratitude at every moment. And then I don't know what happened. Like, I'm just kind of like went downhill.
Fell in a hole.
For the last month. Yeah. And it's just, I'm not always there, but there's something very heavy and
well, as an old song, as an old song says, the thrill is gone. Is that kind of it?
So,
the sparkle is off the sparkler.
It comes back, but then it's like I get hooked by things and I see that happen, but then it seems like, oh, there are just so many and I can't, I feel like I just can't fight it. It's just too much. I can't fight it. It's too much.
Well, this is very good. This is very good. I'm going to support you wholeheartedly in not fighting it. So let me ask you this. Were you good in school?
Yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah, you were a good student.
Yeah.
Got pretty good grades.
Pretty good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so did you notice that teachers would expect more of you than they did of somebody else?
I think for certain subjects, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when we're a kid and we don't understand what's going on, we can resent it, right? You know, why do I have to do that? Why can't I just blah, 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 right? And, of course, what's really happening is the teacher sees somebody with potential and wants that student to realize that potential, right? So much is possible for you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, very often teachers don't stop and ask, yeah, but does that kid care? Because very often the kid doesn't care. Sometimes they do, right? And you probably can recall kids that you went to school with who cared very much, and they always got the best grade, and they always got the this and that, and they were on their way, right? So my point in that long tale is life is in that position of teacher with us.
Expecting
so it's not a matter of, so what subject were you particularly drawn to and good
well,
at?
Well, in art.
Art. Okay. All right, good. And so it wasn't like you, maybe you did, but I'm sure it wasn't, the point was not that you had to fight in order to make art. You know, that's, right, that's not where it comes from. If you're good at art, it's probably because you have talent, right? And you enjoy creating. You want to do that. You like to do it. Now, the standards may come in and, you know, you'll be disappointed and all of those kinds of things. But the point is that it's something that you want to do. Same with life and us, okay? And so you're good at paying attention. You want to wake up and in suffering. And so you have lots of opportunities. If you were sound asleep and completely unconscious, you'd have a lot of opportunities, but you wouldn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it when it gets to the point of saying, you know, where you feel like, well, first of all, if you feel like you're fighting, then you're going in the wrong direction. Okay? Because we're not learning to fight. We're learning to let go. We're learning to say yes, to accept, to feel compassion, loving kindness, gentleness. Okay? That's the direction we want to go in. So sometimes we have a lot of energy, and sometimes we don't. Kind of what we were talking about with Jenny, right? So sometimes you feel, as you said, you know, you feel strong and solid, and you're filled with gratitude, and you're inspired, and then it kind of drains away over time. which is normal. That's why we talk about undulations, right? Sometimes you're just really lit up, and then sometimes you're a little dim, all right? And that is just the case. There's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing we have to worry about. However, it is something that ego likes to take advantage of. So if you're not feeling as energetic or as lit up as you were yesterday, the voices are going to come in and have something to say about that. Okay? The alternative to that is, okay, well, today is a different day. So what today, life? What today? Okay? And you go with a lower energy program for the day, right? You do what you do, and you're there with her, and you're grateful that she is doing what it is that she's doing and participating and that sort of thing. Again, there are no standards, right? And then before you know it, here comes the energy again, and you feel lit up, and you feel excited, and you feel inspired. Then you just go like crazy, right?
Yeah. Oh, I think that's where I really get stuck, when I think I get really scared by being identified. It's very, it gets, and then that's what makes it heavy. And
that's right. And the
spooky
thing about that identification, so if you're going to one day be completely free of suffering, well, the only way that's going to happen for you is you have encountered and transcended every possible way that Emily could suffer. Because the ways that Emily suffers are different from the ways that I would suffer, or anybody else in the world would suffer. It's unique to her, right? So you're going to have to encounter every single thing that drags her down. It's not a mistake when you encounter those things. It's not that you've done something wrong. That's back to the, you're a good student. You're going to be given another lesson. It's not like, you're such a good student that we're going to stop teaching you. You're such a good student that you're going to get more, and you're going to get more, and you're going to get more. But you get to say, it feels like too much now. I need a rest. So I just announced recently that I needed a retreat. Okay? So I went on a private retreat for 5 days.
So that thing about too much, is that the same thing as what I was saying, like when conditioning like loads it on, or is that just a story?
Well, if you stop and take care of yourself, conditioning won't be able to load it on. It's only able to load it on when you've bought into it. Oh God, it's getting really hard. I'm not sure I can do it. It's too much. I can't. Okay, you've bought into it. That's when you need a private retreat, right? You need to take your little recorder. You need to go for a walk, and you need to just drop everything and focus completely on getting here and being present.
Yeah. Okay. And then the thing you were talking about is just like getting into some other realm that I need to transcend, like.
Yeah. Well, the main one.
Scared of identification, or.
Yeah, that's the main one. That's the main one you're working on transcending, right? And so that's going to keep coming up. It'll keep coming up. And if you recognize it, you'll get to the point of going, oh, you again. Okay, where's my recorder? I'm not talking to you. I'm not listening to you. Go away. And before long, you know, when it tips over in that way, you know, you'll just laugh at it. But you're not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, and so this kind of, I feel like maybe this is just in my head, like a month long, I've had like conditioning piled on me. Something's wrong. I need to like work my way out of this.
Yeah, but that's because you didn't stop.
Because I didn't stop for the retreat. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's right. When it starts piling on, that's when you stop. When you realize, ooh, I'm buying into this. Okay. and it, you know, so I took 5 days, which was glorious, right? But on a regular basis, we don't need that if we know to stop. The conversation starts, you start feeling beaten down, you know, it's negative. Okay, I need to quit doing this. I need to turn my attention to what is true. Put in those earbuds. Start listening to what you know is true. Look at something beautiful. You know, ask something around you if it loves you. Let it tell you all of the most wonderful aspects of you, right? And do that until you realize you've broken that connection with ego. You're no longer listening to those voices, and then start it again. Now, the voices will start in again too. And when they start being a difficulty for you, you stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to stop doing anything, right? You can still do the dishes. You can do the dishes and listen to recordings, right? Or you can whatever that's. I don't know what odious chore is for you, but it doesn't mean that. Okay, well then I just need to find some sunshine and lie in it. I know where you live, so that's kind of a little joke, but you know, it's not that. You don't need to escape from life. You need to escape from ego, from those voices. And you do that by getting present. All right. Emily, as with Jenny, it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter. This month, good. It got you to where you are now. Great. All right. Mm-hmm. You've seen a lot. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There is no past. Thank you. Just now. You are so welcome.
Great to connect.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
It's been a long time, huh? All right.
Yeah.
Take good care of yourself.
Bye.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. And Sherry, that last encouragement just landed that nothing else matters except what's happening now. I don't
That's
need
it.
To participate in that story about how I,
nope.
whatever happened in the past. Yeah.
Nope. Nope. No such thing.
No such thing. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Isn't that good? You know,
just
poof, my
and it's gone.
and I know it'll never catch on. It'll never catch on because it is ego's foundation. But if people would let go of memories, there's nothing good about them.
Mm.
And
wow.
so much. There's such a field of landmines.
Mm.
You know, it's just, there's just no sense. It just, they don't give us anything. And that's something that we have to prove to ourselves. No. Whatever might have happened then, no matter how wonderful or beautiful it might have been, first of all, most people's memories are not those, right? They are not, right, inundated with
yes.
these messages of how wonderful and beautiful it was, right? But even if there are some of those, they can't hold a candle to this moment.
Mm.
And if we give up this moment for the most beautiful memory of the past, we've made a bad, bad bargain.
Wow.
I know. It'll never catch on. But it's true nonetheless.
Yes. All right. Giving up memories.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Lovely.
Say no.
Lovely. All right, Sherry, we're going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have callers in the queue here, so
all right.
Get over to the queue. And let's see who's next here. Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, this is Tom in Texas.
Hey, Tom.
Hello, Tom. What's going on?
Hello, good evening. Since I was going to, it seems like possibly a theme for the show is a little of what I wanted to share. So in our 9-day retreat, the Holy Ideas, especially Holy Perfection, that's really, since that time, it's really broken a logjam for me in getting stuck. And so in sitting or whatever practice I'm doing, practicing, knowing holy perfection, that it's perfect, that the distraction's mm-hmm. perfect, that the non-presence is perfect, that mm-hmm. that all of those things that I have viewed in the past as negative or something that set me back, or all of a sudden in holy perfection, it's all perfect. And mm-hmm. so it has really been a tool to immediately drop the something's wrong voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say thank you for that retreat. Living in holy perfection has been such a freeing experience in everything. Everything. It's your motto, of course. There's nothing wrong, and nothing wrong with us. Nothing wrong. But in practicing holy perfection, it took me to another place of there is nothing wrong. I can't describe
right.
it. It's too simple.
And that's it, isn't it? So, you know, you've been practicing for a long time. That's not the first time you heard it. But there was something about the way it was phrased in that retreat that all of a sudden lights came on in a way that they hadn't before, which is why we continue to practice, right? Because that happens to us regularly.
Yes, and it's also been extremely beneficial and challenging. So I have a relative that's going through a very challenging time, challenging content.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I just wanted to say, you know, the right thing to say when this is really tough, but is everything's perfect. Well, no. To them, everything is not perfect.
No. That's not helpful,
but
is it?
To know then what happened, I realized that everything's perfect with me at the time I'm talking to them. So it just gave me a relaxed way to be with them, a more relaxed way to be with them in crisis. It was an incredible redirection, I'll say.
Yeah.
Because I was nervous. I wanted to say the right thing. You don't want to say the wrong thing. I realized.
That's right.
In holy perfection, there's nothing wrong with
that's
the situation,
right.
with my consoling this person. So there's also
there's nothing wrong, right? And the comfort for you is, so you don't have to twist yourself up trying to figure out the right thing to say to them. But the larger picture of that is everything is perfect, right? But it's not kind to say that to somebody who has no experience of that whatsoever and would just think you were mean or stupid or something, because in their world, no, this is not perfect, right? This, in fact, shouldn't be happening. And yet, with practice, we can see, as we were talking about with Emily, this is for that person, right? That it's not a mistake. They're not having the wrong life. They're not having the wrong life experience. They're not. We can know that, And we can hope that at some point they experience that. Until then, what we can do is just listen and reflect and love unconditionally.
Right, and know that our response is perfect.
Yes, yeah. Even if we say something that's upsetting to somebody.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, I was calling and say thank you for just the 9 day and the year long and so just everything, but it seems to have all really come together for many, it feels like, in Sangha. So thank you to you, Shwini, Michael, everyone in the practice.
Yeah.
Grateful.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Looking
take good care.
To next year.
Talk to you soon. Okay. We'll all be back together soon.
Cannot wait.
I know. Me too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tom. And Sherry, I found that really helpful to make that distinction between I know that everything's perfect and I don't need to inflict that on other people.
Yeah. Yeah, because we can all remember a time when that was not our experience.
Hmm.
And even now that we know it, right?
Yes, yes.
We know that that's the case. And sometimes it's really hard to feel it.
Hmm. Yes.
You know, because it intellectually, I get it. I get it. But emotionally, yeah. And if some, even knowing it, if somebody said that, it just wouldn't feel kind or helpful.
Yes, I'm right there. I'm right
yeah.
there. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Okay, this is Ren. I'm actually not in South Florida. I'm in Tallahassee.
Hi, Ren.
You're in Tallahassee? Tallahassee,
yes.
Tallahassee, is that how that goes?
Tallahassee, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on with Ren in Tallahassee?
Well, before I share, because I really wanted to connect tonight, I almost don't need to because everything everybody else has said has been right for me.
See there?
So
we are
amazing.
One.
Mm-hmm. We are one.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I can't, I'm getting emotional because like there's so much to say, it's hard to even say it. So I followed life. I had a feeling that I needed to come up here to where my parents are. One day, I just had a feeling I need to go there. So I went up for what I thought was going to be a four-day visit. I'm standing next to my mom. She collapses in such a way that I can catch her into my arms.
Mm.
What kind of miracle is that?
Mm.
To be right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. having gone to the hospital, and now I'm taking family medical leave. And I'm just going to stay, and I'm just going to do what I can every day. Whatever that
mm-hmm.
is, I don't even know. But
mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful that I can still see the beauty in the trees. And even if I'm not practicing, like I missed some of the retreat because I was in the hospital, but I went to the little chapel in the hospital, and I did my own little version. It's like you just said, like, I'm aware of this holy perfection, and I don't have to do that. I don't have to listen to that conditioning, which I listen to, and I see my mother listening to, and she's in a big depression. My dad has memory problems, et cetera, et cetera. But I've never felt so, so much more strongly. Like, I don't even feel like I made a decision. I just feel like, you know, life said, come here. Okay, now what are you going to do? I don't know. And then, you know, something happens in the kitchen, in the bathroom, wherever. Okay, that needs my attention. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. you know?
Yeah. And apply for leave.
So,
okay.
Yes,
okay,
and so I focused with school, but then I just said, no, I'm going to just let that go because there's some other competent people that are going to just take it right over, and that's going to have to be. And it's like my brain is still catching up with my circumstances, but I want to echo what the last caller said, and all of them really, just thankful for the idea of practice. And I was going to kind of ask a question, but I think you already answered it with the whole thing of, well, you don't have to say, you know, life is perfect, you know, to someone who's depressed, obviously.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
what we're talking about, but the knowing.
Yeah. That's right. And in that situation, especially there, you're there with your parents, you're around your mother, she's depressed, and you don't have to say or do anything in particular. You're just there. But the energy that you bring to it is different. And that is where the comfort is for her, I project.
I absolutely project, too, and agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like a choice
point.
She knows
you're all right.
I wasn't.
You know, as a mother, yeah. I don't know whether she does this, but, you know, mothers will tend to, well, but what about, you know, what about school and what is going to happen to this? And can you really, you know, all of those kinds of things that people will tend to get into. But it's mm-hmm. so obvious that you're all right. Then she doesn't
she
have to worry
about
that.
She has told me that. She has yeah. told me, like, I don't, I mean, she worries, but then in, she says, like, deep down.
Because she worries.
She knows me like that I'm all mm-hmm. right, like she could mm-hmm. see that
yes.
just like one of the choice points was to bring the dog or not, and I brought the dog, and now do you just love it? She didn't want the dog anywhere near her. Now he's up on her lap every time I turn around.
Yeah. And,
I mean, that's something different. Yeah,
right. Well, and with her, you know, we can all relate, right? Because that's ego. I don't want that dog around. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, he was going
right?
to scratch her legs, and he was going to be too hyper and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then.
Mm-hmm. And then the reality is she falls in love with him. I mean, how many times have we experienced that for ourselves? And then just 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
Yes, because I started listening to a story that was like, oh, well, you shouldn't have brought the dog. And then I said, well, just stop that story for a while. And then
see what
and
happens.
But I didn't need that story because it was a wonderful decision and it's helping me so much. So I don't mm-hmm. even have the words, but I just love, I love you. I love Sangha. I love everybody. I love that. You just asked me to ask my suitcase if it loves me, and it said, yes, it does.
And it said, oh, I do, and I'm so glad you brought me.
It did. It said, I'm here with you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm helpful. I'm being able to help you. I'm fulfilling my purpose in life. Yeah. And I know
and
that
it
sounds
said,
crazy to most people, but it, so what?
Right, and it said what, I'm getting the callers confused, but I think it said what you were talking about to the second caller in particular. It's not unpacked and orderly or anything. It's half open, and it doesn't matter because I'm tired right now, and I'm going to take a rest mm. and deal with that whenever it is that's going to
whenever it happens. Whenever it happens. Yep, and if it
yeah.
never happens, well, it'll be easier to pack up again when it's
easier to pack up.
mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh,
everyone.
Thank you, Ren. Thank you. That's
okay,
wonderful.
Take care.
I love thinking of you there. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Gesho.
Gesho.
Thanks for joining us, Ren. These callers are going to bring me to tears here, Sherry. They're so
I know,
amazing.
Me too. Talk about heart opening.
Yes, and I loved, yes, yes, very heart opening. And I loved what you said about us taking care of ourselves, because when I take care of myself, then my family doesn't have to deal with me, and my boss and my coworkers and my, you know, I'm a social relief.
Oh,
because
that's right. That's right. You're a gift instead of a burden.
Yes.
And of course, ego wants us to be a burden, so that's two stories. What's wrong with you, and then how much they hate you, and yeah. But if we take care of ourselves, then and we're not talking about taking care of ourselves at anybody else's expense, right? So
yes.
Ren can take care of herself, and she can be there for her parents, and she takes the dog for a walk, and you know, all of those. As Tom said, once we get it that life is perfect, then life is going to take care of everything. Ego leaves stuff out. Life doesn't.
Yes, yes. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Laura in Berkeley.
Hi,
hey, Laura.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, I'm also having the experience that the last caller talked about, that I feel like a lot of what I've been dealing with has already been addressed by some of the previous callers. But, well, the thing that I've been noticing and wanted to talk about is that I think the story that I'm having the wrong experience, basically, that, because, you know, just hearing in practice calls and everything, people lit up and talking about, like, you know, just like you were talking about earlier in the show, like, isn't it great that we don't, you know, other folks maybe are struggling with the situation, but we're okay because we're, or, you know, that's at least how ego is framing that. And then it's like the story at least is like, well, I'm not having this blissed out experience, or at least it feels that way. You know, I'm in and out, right?
right.
So there's this thing of like, well, everybody else is just floating along, doing great, and loving this pandemic, and here I am, you know, sitting on the couch with Netflix and struggling with things and, you know, like that, basically. And I've seen, I know that this process is not new, like, this process of being told everyone else is fine and you're not okay, like,
That was my next question, of course.
Yes.
So, good job.
I actually had a memory.
Start with the pandemic.
Or even with practice, because, you know, this happens in practice pretty regularly. You know, I've had it on retreat. I've had it, you know, but I had this memory of, drop in of a friend of mine died suddenly in college. And, you know, I was telling the counselor at the school health service, like, everyone else is fine and I'm not okay. And she was like, well, I can actually tell you people are not okay. And, so I was like, this has been, so,
well,
yes,
that's a wonderful connection to make right there, isn't it? Because that identifies very clearly a process that ego uses against us. Well, everybody else is fine and you're not. Well, everybody else is happy and you're not. Well, everybody else knows what they want to do and you don't. You know, whatever. But is that true? Your counselor was right. No. It's not. Probably most people, well, I mean, we're all exactly alike. That's the thing about that. And there are, of course, an awful lot of people who are way less happy than you are. There are a lot of people who don't have Netflix.
Yeah.
Right? So ego will point that out to you. Look at you sitting on the couch watching Netflix. You're a mess. But, you know, and then you get up and go fix yourself something to eat or drink and come back and watch more Netflix. So then, of course, it's going to go in the direction of, yeah, but you're supposed to be a spiritual person, and the way you're coping is by watching, yeah. And so we know that that's what it's going to do, because we know its only purpose is to make you feel bad and give it attention.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be surprised about that. The other thing we know really clearly is it lies, and it'll say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it seems to me like where we really are here is, why are you listening to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, you, every time a voice in your head starts a sentence with you, that could be a signal to say, oh, yes, me. Yes, yes, you. Oh, I love you, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could do the suitcase thing, right? You know, you could just start asking everything in your world how they feel about you, right? And the, you know, the teapot is going to say, I love the way you blah, 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 right? And the refrigerator is going to love whatever about you and the, you know. And that's the world we want to live in, where things mm-hmm. are telling us the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think where I get pulled into it is, and maybe this sort of relates to what you were talking about with sort of the low energy, it's when I'm feeling like sad or feeling a heaviness. Often is when like that kind of starts
yes.
up. That and
yes, you're
that
vulnerable.
And that does feel like it's that. And that maybe I am more vulnerable to that in
yep.
these times.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for those of us blessed with periods of low energy, right, where it's a regular part of the life cycle, right?
Mm.
The undulations are, people will label them things like depression or that sort of thing. Then the relationship with it changes. So here's
mm-hmm.
here's my best encouragement. You know that, right? It's the old halt thing. You know, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, that's the people will tend to use drugs or alcohol or that sort of thing, right? So
yeah.
When we're vulnerable. And so you can learn to watch your energy, because when it's low, you're going to be vulnerable. And that's
mm-hmm.
back to what we were talking about with Emily. Okay, well, then that's when you know you really want to take care of yourself, because you're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I really don't think binge watching anything is a good idea, truth be told. And the reason, of course, is because it messes with your nervous system, right? If
mm-hmm.
it didn't, I would say, yay, let's all binge watch till the pandemic is over. But it messes with us. You know, one of my little rants, the reason that I don't read novels is that novels are written by conditioned mind for conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
That is just the case, okay? By and large, television shows, movies are made by conditioned mind for conditioned mind. Now, are there exceptions to that? Yes, absolutely there are. But for the most part, there is enough built in to anything like that to just jerk us around. And it's meant to jerk us around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the point. You know, if you did a vanilla pudding, you know, it's not going to get any kind of rave reviews from the food critic, right? So so things are meant to affect us, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we know they're affecting us, that's one thing. If we don't, and they are designed to kind of put us to sleep so that we don't realize how affected we are being, then, you know, the potential for suffering is huge. So here's my encouragement. if you're going to watch something like that, do it after you record and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that you make sure that human being is as supported and cared for as possible before doing anything that will make her more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finish watching it, record and listen again so that you come back to yourself and that you let go any of that energy that could be. There's nothing residual hanging around to, because, you know, again, people will, of course, now you can binge watch all day long if you want to, but for the most part, people do it in the evening, right? And then they go to bed. That's not good, right? You don't want to have ego affecting your nervous system and then go to bed, right? Because then ego can just play on that and work with that all night long, and you wake up depressed and tired and out of sorts, and then the voice comes in and says, yeah, and you wasted the whole evening. You could have been doing something worthwhile, but instead you, yeah. So just take the weapons out of its hands. You know, we can do anything as long as we do it with conscious awareness. Anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay? Got a plan?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, and again, anytime you hear you inside your head, that's your signal to take care of her. Anytime you're going to do something that can be used against you, even, you know, I mean, could be eating ice cream, right? right? So it's not that there's anything wrong with it, but we want to make sure we're bringing all the conscious, compassionate awareness that we can muster in any given moment to the situation as we're doing whatever it is that we're doing.
Yep. That makes sense.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go. Thank you, Laura. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And thank you, Sherry. And thank you, everyone, for another fabulous show. It was great.
And thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Soon.
All right, talk to you soon. Go happy.
Go happy.